The Blurred Truth Insider Update.
The John Titor story, it is fascinating, it is surreal, and it's worth a look at johntitor.com, johntitor.com. Oliver Williams is the man who's made it his passion to keep the website up to date with all his predictions, and whether they've come true or not. He set up links to his predictions and also real news events. And of course, one of the biggest bones of contention, Oliver, is the Olympic Games. He said they were going to be cancelled. What's your take on that?
What he said was that the 2004 Olympics would not happen. They would be canceled, and they wouldn't start up again until 2040. And of course, thank God, we didn't have that problem. But a lot of people point to that and say, aha, he got that wrong. Everything else he said is bunk. And, you know, I suppose that you could believe that, or you could say, well, when he got here, he said that he was going to be wrong, that our universe was not exactly like his, and that some things that he said were going to be wrong. And I think a lot of people have made that decision that that's probably what happened.
Here's one thing that's always fascinated me about time travel and the John Titor story. He says you go back in time and then you return back supposedly to your own time, but it's not your exact future. It's another parallel universe, another fork in the road from a decision you've made. So he came back in time to get this piece of computer technology, the IBM 5100 computer, to take back to his own time. So if he did return, that means he didn't exactly go back to his universe.
Yes, actually, my interpretation is that you're half right. Again, I'll go back to the example he uses, which is, have you ever been in a barbershop where you see mirrors on both walls, and if you look left or right, you see infinite reflections of yourself? And what he described it as is that traveling in time is like stepping through the wall into the next room where you saw your reflection. And as you're doing that, all of the other reflections are doing the same thing. So yes, he left his time in 2036, traveled in time, did not get back to the exact universe he left, but he got back to one that was close enough that they were waiting for him in the machine. Therefore, the one that he left, another version of him showed up there with the same machine, but he wasn't the one that left that place. So it's almost like they all shifted, got the computer, shifted back, but they ended up not in the exact room that they left from.
Oliver, did John mention anything about diseases like the swine flu that's concerning the world now?
He talked a lot about mad cow disease. You know, I take that back. I would say that, you know, the impact of disease and some of the other nastier things that go along with war were one of the results that made communities sort of get together. He talked a lot about how states' rights were much more important than federal rights, but that the county, the community, your neighbors were much more important. And you got together with them and you raised food. You raised your cattle, your meat. This wasn't something you went to the store and bought. You did it yourself. He said one of the motivations for that was mad cow disease. He said in 2036, it was such a huge problem that people did not raise animals on a huge scale like that. They did it locally.
We are talking about time travel and the John Titor story. Check out his website, johntitor.com. A man who claimed he came back from the year 2036. Oliver, just recap for anyone who's sort of joined us late.
Sure. One of the very first things he talked about when he got here was CERN. He said in the fall of 2001, CERN was going to make an announcement that they expect to be able to create mini black holes in their collider, and that this was going to be the power source for his time machine. And it actually happened. CERN came out in the fall and actually said that. And I think that's actually what got the ball rolling. John made very specific statements about the IBM computer that he came to get in 1975, and he stated that there were some parts or some attributes of it that IBM did not want known that were part of this machine. After he left, IBM engineers came forward and said, yes, that's absolutely true. What he said is true, and only a handful of people knew that.
And I've certainly come across plenty of documentation on the internet from engineers who knew about this IBM 5100 that wasn't very well known by ordinary everyday people. In fact, the John Titor story has brought this fairly remote part of IBM technology into the mainstream.
Right, and you know, I find that striking. So now we're talking about somebody who knew what CERN was going to say and somebody who knew about the IBM machine. A lot of people believe in a fact. He made mention of a skyscraper that was going to be missing in New York, and he did that in 1998. He talked about how rights were going to be removed from our Constitution. He said no WMDs would be found in Iraq. He said China was going to be the next one to put a man in space. He said we were going to have problems with our space shuttle. He said mad cow disease was going to be more of a problem. He said Stephen Hawking was going to change his mind about how black holes work. And he also said that virus cells would be used to fight cancer. And this is all 10 years before any of this stuff happened.
Did John have anything to say about this so-called civil war that was meant to be hitting America in 2012?
Yes. He was asked about 2012, and his only statement about that was that, yes, it's a significant time period, but nothing happens that ends the world. He says there are some things that happen, we make it through it, but it's not significant enough that it wipes out everybody. So there is something, but he didn't say exactly what it was. And John alluded to a civil war that he said was going to start in 2004, 2005, and then he said the shooting would begin in 2008, and then by that time, it was going to be apparent to everybody that the world that they were living in was over, that things would have changed in this country enough that they would have realized that, you know, whatever causes that conflict would flare up into a full-blown civil war. He said the war starts around, well, he says it ends with a nuclear exchange from other world powers and other conflicts in around the year 2011, I believe, and then ends in 2015.
Oliver, did John ever mention somewhere that he had met himself earlier?
According to John, there is no grandfather paradox. When you, you know, step through that mirror and you jump into another universe, in a sense, because you're there, according to John, you've created a difference. You're now doing something different just by the fact that you've traveled there. So all these interactions that you would have no memory of because you're in another universe. You're not in your universe. The side effect of that is like, let's say you go back and you do something significant to change history. You can't go forward in time or back to your universe to see the results. You have to stay there. So that's how you get around the grandfather paradox. You went back and killed your grandfather. You wouldn't be born in that universe, but you wouldn't affect any other universe. The reason that he was here, he stated, was that he was a soldier on a mission, and his mission was to go to 1975 and get this IBM computer called the 5100, which was IBM's first portable computer, which was about the size of a tabletop. And he said they desperately needed that computer because it was portable and it had the ability to communicate with much older IBM computer systems, and this is the only way that they could do it. They had no other means of doing that. And a lot of people say, well, wow, that's ridiculous. If you could travel in time, why would you need to do that? And I would say NASA scrounges eBay looking for computer parts so they can keep their shuttle running. So it's not a ridiculous notion that you would have to dig into the past to find parts to make things work in the future.
When you see his postings, you get the feeling he had a bit of a temper or certainly didn't have much patience for us.
Yeah, I don't think he did not suffer fools greatly. He didn't like stupid questions. There was I wouldn't call it arrogance, but it was a frustration. It was almost like he was talking to us and we were blind and we weren't seeing what was coming our way.
A lot of postings show he belittled a lot of people. I mean, he put them down.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and there were times where it was almost he would be fine for a while and then he would come back and he would leave posts and they were all angry posts. And then he would come back a week later and he would be fine.
Did anybody try and track down his IP address?
Yeah, that question came up a lot too, and I remember doing some research on this, and he told people where he was. So I don't think there was ever a question about his IP is, I believe, matched where he said he was. So it was, and again, back then, nobody really paid much attention to it because, you know, it's a nutball on the internet claiming to be a time traveler.
And the family traveled from Florida in the States to Nebraska in the Midwest?
Yeah, they did that apparently in 2004 is when they moved from Florida, apparently.
I noticed too, Oliver, on the johnteter.com website that he mentions how bad our food is. A lot of people were posting questions about, what are the Super Bowl scores? How are we going to end up? But he was very concerned about the nutrition.
On the food issue, as I recall, he was terrified of fast food. You know, the idea of going and eating a burger absolutely terrified him. And he, I believe, as I recall, he made mention that a lot of his food was from gardens. You know, he liked raw carrots, he liked oranges, he liked tomatoes. And the idea of going to a store to buy food was totally alien to him.
He must have known about organics, though.
You know, he must. If you're going to raise that much food on such a small scale, I'm guessing that there must be some high technology that will allow you to do that.
Did he ever describe what he looked like or anything along those lines on his website?
Oh, yeah. He described, you know, he described himself as having a shaved head, that the hairstyles were very, very short, and that everybody wore very functional clothing. And I believe he also had an aversion towards flashy colors. You know, he didn't like to wear clothes that were bright red or bright green. He didn't understand that he wore, you know, blacks and greens and functional clothing, things with pockets. You know, he described it sort of that way.
Did he come here on his own, or was he sent here?
He was sent here. He was part of a, you know, according to him, he was part of a military unit that was a special operations command that was actually based in Tampa. And, you know, his mission was take the machine, travel in time, get this thing, and come back.
I just wonder if he was here for some other reason, and he just didn't want to share it with us.
Well, I think you're right. I think, well, and the Post sort of bear this out, and a lot of other people think this too. When he was in 1975, something happened that he didn't expect or that he didn't want to have happen, and that he was here in our time either trying to fix that or trying to accelerate it. And a lot of people have pointed out that it was possibly Y2K, the idea that maybe he did something in 1975 when he was interacting with IBM that managed to cascade and Y2K did not happen.
Oliver Williams, thanks for your time tonight on The Blurred Truth. If you want to find out about John Titor, go to the website, johntitor.com, johntitor.com. Doesn't get updated that often. Oliver can have almost 12 months off the site, but when significant news events occur that sort of, you know, trigger some of John's predictions, it's good to have a look at it. So check it out if you get a chance. And Oliver, it's been real.